Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Pathways, Crossroads, and the Desired Destination.
Job chapter number 3, verse 1 through 9. Let's read. After this, opened Job his mouth, and he cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let the day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let the cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of day terrify it. As for the night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of a year. Let it not come unto the number of the months. Lo, let the night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up the morning. Let the stars and the twilight of thereof be dark, and let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Do me a favor, say, neighbor, that's Job talking. Y'all got that right? That's Job. So you might want to read it again. Tell your name one more time, say, that's Job. That's the man that the Bible described as righteous and upright and eschewing evil. Tell your name one more time, say, that's Job talking. Yeah, all right. Skip down to verse 25 and 26. Skip down to verse 25 and 26, and when you have it, say, I have the word. It is so important to pay attention to the text. When you get over into the New Testament, it said the Old Testament, they are examples for our learning. Stay with me. Some of the things are in the Old Testament. They was only recorded to instruct us when we got here. They were for our ensamples. Some translations say, but example is a better translation. So could it be that God allows us to see what Job said so we won't be so hard on ourselves when we're going through something? Have y'all noticed yet that we talk a little different when we're going through stuff? Oh, we got to shout unto God while we're in here. And all that roof has to do, Jared, is start leaking. Don't let it leak in multiple places. It ain't glory no more. It ain't hallelujah. This is that Job talking. So in Job chapter number 3, and again, I can't be long, amen, because I let the praise and worship sing it out today. All right. Job chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. It is a paramount statement. Job says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Crossroads, the place, and that's what I want to talk about today. Crossroads, the place we allow divine destiny to manifest. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart these next 10, 15 minutes, God. Let me speak as an oracle, God. Let me declare your truth. Push back the darkness, send your word, heal us, God. But most important, God, inform us, Lord. Inform us in a way that it will become enlightenment, that it will become revelation, that we could then have practical, oh God, real principles to walk out life, God, in a postmodern culture that is drifting into an abyss. Speak, Lord, that we would stay on the pathway that you designed. Speak, Lord, that no weapon formed against us would prosper. Speak, Lord, that we would sense a higher plane, God. That we would sense a greater call, God. Speak, Lord, that we'll be who you called us to be. And as you do it, God, we'll be careful to give your name. We'll give your name the glory, the praise, and the honor. And all God's people said amen and amen. Thank you, Solomon. Crossroads, the place we allow divine destiny to manifest. How do I do this in 15 minutes? In this text, no less than 13 times, the author or Job uses the verb with an object, uses the verb let. And using this verb let, he speaks to his day. He speaks to the day that he was born. He speaks to the night. He speaks to the shadow of death. He speaks to the months. Let the months, let the day that I was born, let the night, let the stars of the twilight, let the dawning of the day. Over and over, no less than 13 times in this text, he uses the word let. So I think it is imperative that we get a clear definition of what is this meaning of the word let that Job is using repeatedly in this text. The dictionary defined let as to allow or to permit, to allow to pass or to go or to come. The word let means to grant occupancy of use, to contract or assign for performance, usually under contract. It means to cause or to make or to express a request or a command. So every time Job is using the word let, he's sort of kind of commanding something to come into existence. Every time he uses the word let, and you got to catch this, every time he uses the word let, he's calling something to come into existence. Proverbs says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 18 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. Death and life lies in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Isaiah 45 and verse 11, it says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. And it is an inference there that once I tell you what's coming, he says, then open up your mouth and command ye me. Hebrews 11 says, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Every day, every moment, every second, you are bringing something into existence by opening up your mouth and saying, let. Every time Job opened up his mouth, he opened up the portal for something else to come into existence. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, and I promise y'all, I'm not going to be long. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what are you bringing into existence by your let? No less than 13 times, he opened up the portal and something else came into existence in his word. There are enlightenments, there are revelations, there are hidden things that God wants to show us so we can avoid drifting in this postmodern abyss. I'll say that again. There are enlightenment, there are revelations, there are hidden mysteries that God wants to show us to keep us from drifting into this postmodern abyss. But the only way we're going to avoid drifting is we're going to have to go back to the basics recorded in this book called the Bible. We're going to have to go back to this sacred text. We're going to have to go back to this book, and we're going to have to dig and then dig and then dig some more, lest we begin to be as Job and keep allowing things to be because of our let. And there are three things, and I just cut off 4 pages of note. There are three things that in this text shows us why Job is where he is, but also it shows us how to turn through a crossroads and ascend unto a place of manifested destiny. And for the next 5 minutes, I want to talk about these three things that are easily observed, all right? But we must get back to studying the Bible and digging out deeper truths, allowing for the mystery of God, but then getting applicable principles that we can stay on the straight and narrow, that we can avoid drifting in the broad and the wide that your Bible says leads to destruction. First thing that Job chapter 3 shows us is found in the ending of my text that I lifted today. In verse 25 and 26, Job says, "The thing that I feared the most, it has come upon me." If I'm going to move into divine destiny manifesting, then number one, we must deal with the thing that we fear the most, especially if it's that thing called fear itself. All of us are not afraid of success. All of us are not fearing failure. All of us don't fear the dark. All of us have unique fears. Unique things that if we pulled it out of our pocket and if it was even fake, we'd run like somebody was chasing us to put us back into captivity. If we're going to allow divine destiny to manifest, number one, we must deal with the thing we fear the most. But please hear me. We must deal with fear, even if that's what we are fearing the most. God has not given to us a spirit of fear. So if God has not given us the spirit of fear, then we must ask the question, where does fear come from? How do we feed it? How do we make it larger? And somehow we got to deal with it again because hear me, fear attracts. Every day that Job is fearing, he's attracting his experience. If you fear being fired long enough, they're going to find a reason to fire you. If you fear your marriage breaking up because every woman in your family has gone through a divorce, then inevitably your marriage is going to break up. If you keep feeling your body looking for a sickness, inevitably fear is going to show up. So God is not the author of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So we sort of kind of can say, if God has not given it to her, then more than likely it comes from Satan. It comes from the darkness. So we got to somehow deal with the darkness. Somewhere we got to understand you're tricky, but you ain't that tricky. You're subtle, but you ain't that slick. Somewhere we've got to deal with that the fear that I'm sensing in me had originated somewhere, and now I have to figure out how to get it out of my life. Do me a favor, say real loud with me, fear comes from Satan. Right? Now, fear attracts. The thing that I feared the most has come up. If we do not deal with that I'm fearful, Timothy, then I'll be fearful all my life. Somewhere, I have to admit that I'm a little timid about that. I don't know if I can overcome that. I don't know if I'm that strong. I don't know if I know how to do this. Do y'all know what we would rather do than confess that we fear? We'd rather struggle trying to figure it out, scared to death. And every now and then, this is what I'm discovering. God allows something to manifest to show the need that we have for one another. You have a neighbor that could go to 2 minutes of prayer and that fear would leave your life forever. But because you won't open up your mouth, you've been fearing for a long time now. Fear attracts. Please hear me. Every day that you walk in fear, you are attracting what you do not want. Do me a favor, say it to me real loud. Fear attracts. Fear attracts. Some people are scared to death to go to the doctor because they are so frightened of the diseases that have ran through their families generationally. Some folks are so fearful. They've been on a job for 5 years and they know they want a promotion and they are scared to death to go ask the supervisor, am I worthy for a promotion? Or they're so afraid to say, hey, I'm going to put my resume in and because of my work, I'm going to put that out there. They are so afraid, so they will stay on a job for umpteen years because they are so afraid that if I put my resume out there, nobody will accept it. Number one, if I were to talk to Job, I would have said, Job, why didn't you deal with this fear a long time ago? Satan is the originator of fear. Now, I told you we got to deal with it. In Ephesians, we've been given weapons. If I know fear is in my life, absolutely, you have a brother or sister that can pray that all for you. You can come among the community of a believer, and every time you hear, you get an inheritance among those that are sanctified. But I want to help you when you're by yourself and you ain't got nobody with you, you ain't got nobody to pray with you. Well, Ephesians, amen, chapter number 6, it says, above all, take the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. If fear comes from Satan, and if my brothers and sisters can pray that off me, I'm going to use that. If the company of believers can give me an inheritance that they can get fear off me, I'm going to use that. But just in case I'm by myself and I'm sleeping upstairs in my bedroom and my family's in New York and I hear something downstairs, I'm going to pull out this faith, amen, and I'm going to quench what the enemy sent to cause fear in my heart. You've been given the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of fear sent your way. You've been given a shield of faith that has the ability to quench every fiery dart of fear sent by the enemy. Part of my message I didn't get to Friday night, but one of the things that I was going to talk about Friday night that I didn't get to talk to, all right, and I'll share it with you here, since faith has been given to us, there's a thing that a lot of football players, especially running backs and receivers, when they make a great play, amen, in the NFL now, especially I think Ezekiel Elliott is the main one that started it, but every now and then that boy will make a 7 or 8 yard run and he'll do something like this. He's saying, feed me. He's saying, feed me. If faith is the thing that quenches the fiery darts of fear, then I need to feed my faith. Y'all ain't hearing me. If you know you are being bombarded by fear of sickness, you know you're being bombarded about fear about your marriage and about your children, you know you've been bombarded about the times that we're living in. Somebody asked me, I was preaching in Pennsylvania, and I'm sorry, at the men's conference, and they asked me, what's going to happen to the church in the next 3 to 5 years? And nobody in the room wanted to say anything, and I could feel the fear in the room, and I opened up my mouth, and I began to declare, this is what's going to happen. Why? Because I've fed my faith concerning the end times. So I know some things must be, but I also know God's got an expected end. Oftentimes, we can't quench the fiery darts of fear because we ain't feeding faith. Every now and then, we need to look to God and say, feed me. You didn't hear me. Every now and then we need to look to God and say, God, feed my faith. Feed my faith. Feed my faith. Got something going on in my home. Feed my faith. God, got something going on at the job. Feed my faith. Hear me. Intellect ain't going to help you. You ain't hearing me. Your solutions ain't going to work. You already tried that. The weapons that you ain't working. So you got to say, God, give me that shield of faith that's able to quench the fiery. Faith is able to quench a diagnosis that the doctor has given. Faith is able to quench what's going on with your economics. Faith is able to quench what's going on in our culture under Trump's Make America Great Again. Faith is able to quench to say, no, here comes the kingdom. You can talk about Make America Great all you want to, but here comes the number one, if I'm going to get the manifestation of destiny, then number one, I got to deal with the thing that I fear the most. What is it that you fear? Deal with it. What is it that you fear? Because hear me, one portion of scripture says fear has torment. And this is what I know about Satan. And if he's orchestrating the fear in your life, he ain't going to relinquish because you shedding some tears. He ain't going to back up because you said this ain't fair. In fact, he gonna make it worse. You was fearing on your job. Now you're going to be fearing in your car. I was doing a study one time on some dark work and some evil workers and some evil benefactors out of a case out of Chicago, and I was doing a case study, and it was dark and it was demonic. And every time I dug deeper, I could feel the darkness come closer. Every time I uncovered one layer of evilness, I could feel Satan that much closer. And I never forget one night I was digging something out on the internet and I got a strange text on my phone call while I'm digging it out. I'm digging something out on the internet about this case and I'm learning about what God, how the workers of darkness work. And while I'm digging this out, I get a strange text and said, I hope you are enjoying what you're looking at. Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it was. Racine, though, because I had to call him over my house a couple of times in this season. Hear me real good. When you have the spirit of fear, I only tell you that because when you have that fear and that darkness, he'll press it and he'll make it worse. And at some point, you got to face your fears. Come on, tell your neighbor, you got to face your fears. You got to face your fears. Paul told Timothy how to face his fears. He said, stir up the gift that is within you. Do me a favor. Tell your neighbors and neighbor, in this season, face your fears. Two things you need to understand. You have a good God Almighty. Y'all better be glad I'm not going to be long today. You, number one, you have a gift that is within you that has power and has authority. Number two, greater is he that is within you. The great God in you is bigger than anything outside of you. I believe one great mind told us the only thing that we really have to fear is fear itself.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the four-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.